heaven and angels.
Heaven and angels.
The redeemed. We worship you now. Holy, holy, holy. You know, as Christians, having God the Holy Spirit living inside us and enlightening our minds, the Bible says the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts. Sadly, many Christians don't have light or sufficient light shining in their hearts, but we should. God begins to give us a little glimpse, and it's just a little, of who He truly is. Because of the advancement of the physical sciences, particularly physics and cosmology, you know, it's just in the last 20, 30 years that man has come to see just how majestic the heavens are. Those of us who have studied a little bit in what we call cosmology. Cosmology is the study of the cosmos. When I was a kid, I'm talking about the 1960s, we thought the universe, we thought everything was our solar system and the Milky Way. Today, the Milky Way galaxy, which is our galaxy, now, for just to give you a little bit of understanding, you see, we're living on planet Earth. This planet is a relatively small-sized planet in even our solar system here. We are some distance from our sun. Our sun is only one star. And our sun has revolving around it, you know, about 9 or 10 planets, you know, some, you know, Pluto and others are, sometimes they call it planets and they're not, you know. But the important thing is we've got big gas planets like Jupiter, you know, and Saturn, you know, that are a little bit farther out, you know. And then there's those who are closer to the sun like Mercury. And we're somewhere in between. We're in what is known as the Goldilocks zone. You know, even scientists have agreed that we could not have been here by accident, because we are close enough to the sun to get the light for our energy and our plants, and far enough away so that the sun does not dissolve everything on the planet. If you moved us 5% of our present distance from the sun, everything on Earth will, you know, will dissolve. It would not be habitable for human existence. If you moved us 5%, not 10, 5% of the distance to the sun, if you move us 5% behind, we'll all freeze. And you tell me that's an accident? Of course it is a design by the most intelligent person that ever is, ever was. Give him a clap offering, somebody. See, when I'm singing in church, I'm not just singing. Something is going on inside my heart. I know I haven't seen anything yet. All I just see is his bottom layer. I'm telling you. We see the heavens, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. And because of little knowledge of physics that he's given us, we have just a little idea, you know. And our sun is one of billions of stars in our galaxy. Our galaxy is a spiral galaxy. It has what we call a black hole in the center. Then you've got the spiral arms that go around the galaxy. And our galaxy is placed in such a way, in such a place that we can use our telescopes to see through. If we were in another part of the galaxy, we won't see anything. And then our galaxy is one of billions, not millions, billions of galaxies in what we call the universe. And physicists, because of the new discoveries we keep making every day, everybody's afraid now. So you know what we say? The observable. Because we now have what is known as dark matter and dark energy. We can see the effect, but we can't measure it. Somebody's out there. Give the Lord another clap offering. So when you're saying holy, 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 you're talking about somebody who is really great. And that's at the macroscopic level. When you come down to the microscopic level and you start getting to DNA, you start dealing with somebody whose intelligence far surpasses anything any human being can even begin to fathom. Every single one of us has a unique fingerprint. Watch this. Every single one of us has a unique iris. Watch this. Every single one of us has a unique voice print. Mommy's, if you take my wife's voice print, if we put it on an oscilloscope, you know, you see the voice wave that comes out, it's unique. No other human being has it. Because of the way her mouth and her shape and her vocal cavity is made, it acts like a resonant cavity that produces particular frequencies. Give him another clap offering. The doctors amongst us will tell you there, nobody, what it says in the lab, but nobody understands how God wrote DNA. It's information. It is precise scientific information by mere chemical bonds. But they join together, and when you read it, it's like reading the bits on a computer. And it gives you a unique signature. So my DNA is different from yours. It's different from yours. It's different from yours. It's different. So that's why if you, God forbid, you won't commit a crime. You commit a crime somewhere and they just take, even if it is just the scrape of your hair, and they take the cell from it and they identify the DNA, it cannot be any other person except, sorry, Laolu. Only a fool will say there is no God. Give him another clap offering. That's why I shout to. That's why I scream. That's why I sing. And I know I don't know anything yet. Talking relatively. Even all this I've talked about is just a small peak. That's what we're going to use eternity to do. We will keep unraveling. You see, that's why you see when those cherubims, when they see throne God, they will see a glory. Holy. They haven't yet recovered from that one. They will see another one. Holy. Then they will see another one and say, holy. When they'll just see something else. Then they'll see another one. Holy. Then before they finish that one, another part of God will be revealed as a holy. God is great, too. It's not flattery. It's the truth. God is great. You know, great doesn't say it. Because you say men are great. You know, David is great. Great doesn't say it. That's why we need tongues. He says they were praising and magnifying God. Because there are things that are in his nature and his character we cannot explain with natural human words. So you have to say, Le mokoshele ben gradafra, na kasheki tu frenega, lo prenega, oh for 1,000 tongues, ne katala mashiki tu frenega, la prenega tu frenegues, zehiko frenega, ne hakoshele ben gara, no freneles, ne garas. Sit down if you can. If I said the grace now, we went home, we're okay. God is great. even the tongues is a miracle. Speaking in languages you don't know. You know, it's when you travel abroad, you begin to appreciate tongues. You know, when you're speaking in tongues in Nigeria, I say, Koshele Magra, it sounds as if you're saying the same thing. Then we went to China. Some years ago, my wife and I, then I heard the taxi driver talking to his niece, you know, who became like a daughter to mommy, Sonny, and they were, it was just like tongues. And yet they could understand what they were saying. They were saying, yet everything had meaning. Give the Lord another clap offering. To you, walk on Parion. But it's intelligent language that can write scientific papers. Chinese. And that's just one of many. Enough said. I have a very important message. I haven't preached it in years, but the Holy Spirit prompted me, and He's been building up in me, and I call it the hundredfold return. It's a financial message, but it's not only finance. And it's because we're coming into a time where God is going to be blessing us far beyond anything we have ever seen, dreamed, or imagined. When I was a teenager, this is in the 70s, I was 10 years old in 1970, I was 11 in 71, I was 12, no, no, I was 11 in 1970, I was 12 in 71, 13 in 72, I was 14 in 73, and I was 15 in 74, that's when I entered UI. You know, my teenage years, the richest men in the world had $100 million. Paul Getty, Aristotle Onassis, and we thought it was a lot of money. Then the 80s came, the mid-80s into the late 80s, and men like Bill Gates, because of the microcomputer industry and the software industry that created wealth they'd never seen before, started becoming billionaires. The word billionaire was never used before, you know, because nobody, even, you know, only nations, when they're talking about the debt, the national debt of America, we'll be talking about billions. This was in the 70s and in the 80s. But individuals started having billions. And as today, you know, we watched a documentary on Bill Gates recently, you know, he's worth about 100 and something billion. Take a few here and there, you know. I mean, that's quite a bit of money. But in this decade that is coming and beyond, we're going to have individuals. See, nations now, our last budget in Nigeria was something trillion, but that's naira. By the time you convert it to dollars, it probably comes to something billion, not trillion. But even America now and some of the other countries are now starting talking about, but you know, most nations are talking about 1 trillion. Or 2 trillion, you know, that kind of money, you know. But the hour is coming, and now is when there will be individuals in the church who will be worth trillions, not nations, individuals. And for those who may not know, a million is 1,000,000, so it's 1 with 6 zeros behind it. A billion is 1,000,000,000. So it's 1 with 9 zeros behind it. A trillion is 1 with 12 zeros behind it. And you can go on. You can go to 15 and so on and so forth. You know. And how is this thing going to be? You know, we read certain things in the scriptures, and when we read them, they look impossible to us from our vantage point, because of our experience, and we've never seen anything like it before. And so we think, oh, well, how in the world is that going to be? Let me give you an example. You know, I'm going to get to scripture in a minute. But let me give you an example. For example, you know, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, which you're going to see later on in our study if we get there, you know, that every eye shall see him. You see, at the time John wrote that thing, it looked impossible. How can everybody on earth see one person? It doesn't look possible. But with satellite communication and technology now, we now understand how it's going to be. So you can be in Nigeria, I can be in London, another person can be in Tokyo, another person can be in, you know, Moscow, wherever, you know, and through the satellite, we can, on our televisions, all of us can see everything that's happening. We can see the same person at the same time, in real time. Now, at the time the Bible was written, it looked impossible. How can that ever be? In the same way, at the time the Bible was written, some of the things we're saying now, you know, at that time, they looked impossible. How can we lend to nations? Talking to an individual and collectively as a nation, in Malachi chapter 3, the Bible makes this outstanding, and, you know, if you're skeptical, you see outlandish statement. I'm not skeptical. I believe it. But, you know, really, if you look at it from a natural point of view, he says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to contain it. But he didn't stop there. He says, and all nations, plural, will call you individual, Ndubisi Okorie. Receive it. Brother Ndubisi has received it. Will call you Ndubisi Okorie blessed. So he will be so rich, he will be helping so many nations. The nations will now call him blessed. Amen. Without contradiction, the less is blessed of the greater. Hallelujah. It's impossible. Can you imagine an individual having enough money so that nations will start calling that individual blessed? Bill Gates has already shown us, it's just a sample. He's being called blessed now because he comes to Nigeria and bless us. Then he will go to Malawi and bless them. Then he will go to South Africa and bless them. And, you know, Bill Gates is more powerful than all these politicians. You know, if he went to China the other day, the Chinese president had to give him red carpet treatment. They are building a nuclear reactor. They've finished it. They've done the design and everything. If I were the Nigerian government, I'd go and talk to Bill Gates immediately. You know, we're wasting time in this country. You know what they're using? They're using recycled uranium. You don't understand. You see, normally when you do nuclear power and use uranium rods, the spent rods are still radioactive, and they still constitute a danger. But the design they have now made, you can take the spent, the one that they have used for old reactors, take that spent one and then put it into a particular reactor and it will have no side effect. They're not going to do it. They have done it. So, you know the question, what are we waiting for? I'll go to America tomorrow if I was in government. Say, I want to buy your spent uranium. I will ship it. I will say, come, build me 6. Southeast, south-south, southwest, northwest, north-north. I will put 6 reactors all over Nigeria. This new design. Because there is no danger. It cannot melt. It cannot break down. It cannot have radioactivity because it's using a spent rod. And we'll have electricity 24/7. Till Jesus comes. I'm not talking about something that can be done. It's available. And we can afford it. If we cannot afford it, borrow the money and do it. That's the thing to borrow money for. Borrow the money and do it. Because I tell you something, this is one of the greatest countries in the world. We have only two major problems, energy and security. Deal with them, the whole world will come to Nigeria to invest. I don't know how I got off on that, but I'm preaching 100-fold return. I'm telling you, we are one of the greatest countries in the world. Our human resources supersede most other nations. The Nigerians in America are the most educated people group. More than Chinese, more than Japanese. It's a record. Nigerians. The smartest guys on the planet. Give a lot of clap offering, somebody. And it's not because we're smart, it's because we have a prophetic destiny. And so God has poured blessing. Another message for another day. Don't let me get off on that. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? All nations calling our man. The man is, you know what he does? He goes on fasting and prayer. He doesn't call it fasting and prayer. Watch documentary. Because he will take his books. Then his wife understands. His wife doesn't get angry. You know, then they have one country house. You know, they are somewhere on the lake. He'll go and spend 1 week there. He'll be reading and thinking about how can I solve this problem. I want to solve the problem of excretion. So they have invented a toilet so that when you go to toilet, it doesn't need water. It doesn't need anything. The waste will be recycled and burnt out and you get water you can drink. It's not going to be done. It has been done. That's why you keep eating eba. Sit down there. Sit down there. Eh? Our own people, they're just misbehaving all over the whole place. Self-thinking. Self-thinking. And he spent money to do it. Got about 3 or 4 different universities, got them every person doing research. His own money. And he's feeling bad. He's now had a problem with mosquito. He said, the children are going to die. They're going to die. How are we going to solve this problem? Both the husband and the wife. They're all thinking about the one problem or the other. So the energy problem, he solved it. So they wanted to go and do it in China. China agreed. You know, Chinese, they're smart. So China said, come and build it for us. But the present trade war between China and America, and because of the trade war, the American government has banned them, so they can't do it for now. I'm sure they'll get over it. But for now, they can't do it because they cannot. Why? What are we waiting for? What is Nigeria waiting for? And he comes here so often. I'll just say, Bill, take any land you want. Build one here. Build one here. Put in each geographical, geopolitical something. We will not have problem of electricity. The amount of electricity we will supply for 250 years. These are statistics that are available. I don't know what they're doing in Abuja. Don't let me go there. Don't let me go there. Emma Kumisi Wala. I didn't say anything. No. The 100-fold return. Turn with me your Bible to Mark chapter 10. Oh, this stuff is good. So, God is going to bless us in the church, and we're going to make trillions. Not billions, trillions. It is with those resources we will preach the gospel to every creature in every ethnos all over the world. That's the purpose of it. And of course, help the poor. Things like this power project. You know, let me just say this on the side. You know, I've seen that if you're waiting for government, you're wasting your time. Amen. What is going to drive? Now, those of you who are listening on television, write it down. And hold on to it. What's going to drive the economy is going to be private enterprise. So I don't need to go to Abuja. I don't need to get any. You know, they don't need to vote or anything. It's my money. See, Bill Gates didn't have to go to the United States Congress to build what he built. We're waiting for government, wasting our time. Just say, I'm going to do it. And say, I buy this piece of land. It's mine. I have a title deed. I'm building this power project there. And you know what? I'm going to supply all the poor people here who can't afford it. I'm giving them free. These other ones who can't afford it, I'm taxing them double. It's mine. And if you don't want it, you can't have it. But they will pay for it. And I will tax the rich to help the poor. And you know, the smart rich guy will agree. Because what he's going to get is going to be far better than what he's paying. Oh yeah. You see, there are solutions if people are thinking and they have the right heart. What we have is selfish, bigoted. I have the Holy Ghost on me, so cool down. Self-conceited, self-centered, selfish leaders. But their days are numbered. In the morning, mommy's prophecy. It's not me, it's mommy who prophesied. Mark, are we going to ever start this message? Mark chapter 10. Oh, I love this. Mark chapter 10. And we're going to look from verse 28 through 30 to start with. And then we'll take it from there. Mm-hmm. Now, let's just give the background. Jesus is with his disciples, a rich young ruler, who church history tells us was actually Barnabas. He got born again later on in the Acts of the Apostles. But this was during the Gospels. Jesus hadn't yet died. So Barnabas, according to church history, and I believe it, comes up to the Lord Jesus and says, good master, what good thing can I do that I might inherit eternal life? The Bible says, Jesus looking at him, I don't want to read all of them, that's why I'm saying it, you know, and loved him. Because he was, you know, so he said to him, he said, oh, you know the commandments, you know. He said, you know, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't do this, don't do that. Honor your father and your mother. He said, do this and I'll live. Then Barnabas replies and says, I've kept all this for my truth. And he wasn't lying. He was what you call a good sinner. There are many of them like that on the earth. There are a lot of people like that. Nice people. They don't steal. They don't kill. They don't commit adultery. They don't smoke. They don't drink. They're not born again. I used to be like that before I got born again. One of the things that was a stumbling block for me because I was a nice guy, in quotes. Now I sin though, but not the kind of sin people take seriously. I mean, in those days, having girlfriends and smoking and drinking was not considered a bad thing. You know, it's if you steal. And you tell lies, and you do this, and you do that, you know. So Barnabas now said, all these things I have kept from my youth. The Bible says Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Because he wasn't lying. And said, He said, what do I lack then? He said, You want to be perfect? Good. You know what? Go and take everything you have. Sell it. Give it to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. Hush! The Bible says, the rich man, he went away sad because he had great... And you can see that in the Acts of the Apostles. Barnabas was very rich. He was the one who sold his land and brought it to the, you know, to the apostles' feet. So, he came from a very rich family. He was a very rich boy. You know, so he says, because he had great possessions. So after he had gone, he was out of earshot. Jesus said, how hardly it is for the rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says they were all shocked. You know why? They were all rich. forget this, your silly religion. Why do you, if they were not rich, why would they have been astonished? I don't know whether you know this or not. You know, because we read our Bibles upside down, you know, and the devil blinds us and all of that. Peter and John had a fishing business. You don't hire servants if your business is not making money. Where are you going to get the money to pay their salary? Go and read it. The Bible says when Jesus said, "Take, you know, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men," he said they left their father Zebedee and Peter, who was in the business with them and followed Jesus, and the hired servants. They weren't poor people. It's not a poor man you go to his house and tear up the roof. The man with the palsy. It was Peter's house. Jesus was preaching. There was so much crowd, and it was all the big men with all the, you know, they didn't have Cadillacs in those days, but they had donkeys and all the horses and all of that. So, you know, the small man could not enter the place. You know, and Jesus was teaching and, you know, telling them about the word of God and everything. So this man couldn't get this. So his friend said, "You know what, let's go up to the roof." So they carried him on the stretcher, went up the roof, tore the roof, and brought him down. Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, faith is what you can see, because faith without works is dead. If you have the works, I will see your faith. He said, "You'll be healed." He says, "Take up your bed and walk." And the man took his bed and walked. You know, they were astonished. But the point I'm making is that Peter was so rich, it wasn't a problem. They fixed the roof. You see, he's one poor man. Oh, my roof here, my master, wrong man. Ah, the Lord. Hey, see my roof, oh. I'll tell you something. Jesus lived, he lived a very good life. He just was not showy. And he was temperate in all things. Peter's house must have been a very nice house. But Jesus won't use it. And can you imagine the kind of crowd that went around him? He had the 12, then he had the 70. Peter's house was always busy. They were in and out, in and out, in and out. You know that kind of, you know, the kind of money you're going to spend for that kind of crowd. Peter wasn't poor. Anyway, so they were all astonished. And they said, "Ah, Lord, who then can be saved? I'm rich. John is rich." Then he now explained to them. Now let's read. Verse 27. So with God, this is with men, this is impossible. With God, it's possible. So everybody say, with God, it is possible to be rich and enter the kingdom of heaven. Give the Lord a clap offering. Now you can't do it without God. But with God, it is possible to be rich and enter the kingdom of heaven. That's the lesson he just taught us. Amen. Now next verse 28, that's where we're going to start. Thank you, Jesus. And Peter began to say unto him, I didn't hear you. "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." This is where this thing came from. Now, what does that mean? It means, you know, I've put my business aside. I've put my life aside. I've put my life on hold because of you. Peter was a married man. We know he was. Because the Bible says his wife's mother was sick. And Jesus rebuked her sickness. You know, but that time, it wasn't that he neglected his family. But he was following Jesus all over the whole place. He put Jesus number one. He put family and all of that number two. And Jesus took care of his family. When his mother-in-law was sick, Jesus healed her. Okay? So it wasn't as if they neglected, but their priority was Jesus. They were going all over the whole of Galilee, you know, and Judea, you know, right up to the sea coast, you know, of I've forgotten the name of that place. There's a place, you know, on the coast there that Jesus went, you know. So they were Caesarea, Philippi. They were going all over. So they were with Jesus almost 24/7. And they, you know, Peter's house was the headquarters, but they were always moving around, staying in hotels, in inns, where they had friends like Martha and Lazarus. They would stay in their house and stuff like that. So that's what he meant when he said, "We left all and followed thee." Then Jesus made this groundbreaking statement. And it's not only for Peter, it's for you and I today. Anybody who will do what Peter, James, and John did, who will forsake all, put Jesus first. Put him top priority. That's what I did as a young boy, 20, 21. My wife did the same when I met her. We gave everything. Jesus is number one. Always number one. And I was ready to do anything that he told me to do. And I did some things people ever thought that was crazy. But I'm in good company. They thought Jesus was crazy too. And then they thought Paul was crazy. Oh man, that's good company. Praise the Lord. Very good company. Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands, real estate, for my sake and the gospel's. In other words, if you put me and the gospel a higher priority than your wife, your children, your father, your mother, your lands. He said, watch this. Next verse. This is where we get the hundredfold statement from. But he shall receive a hundredfold when he gets to heaven. I don't know where we got this religion from. It's the devil, of course. Do you know? Have you heard of us as poor as a church mouse? Have you heard it before? So, poverty is equated to the church. What an insult to the God that we serve. The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. The God that teacheth thee to profit. The God that leadeth thee in the way in which thou shouldest go. The God who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. How dare we, as poor as a church mouse? We've equated poverty with humility, poverty with piety, poverty with holiness. So if you're rich, you can't be poor. Sorry, if you're rich, you can't be holy. What a lie. This is the essence of this message. If I don't finish it today, I'll take it again next week. I'll do part one today and part two. I want you to know something. It is a lie from the pit of hell. That you cannot be rich and be in the kingdom. Jesus just told us. He said, it is possible with God. And it is the will of God. Because you know what? This gospel moves with money. Hello? Oh, you're enjoying now. You're under air conditioner. You know where you go on YouTube. You think it's free? This microphone, this thing, the LED. You think it's free? But look at the convenience. Good morning, Jesus. Zoom. You think it's free? And they don't charge in Naira. They charge in USD. Hello, somebody. They're looking at me funny. Are you listening to me? Oh, yeah. The thing, for us to do the thing God wants to do, we need money. And we haven't seen any money yet. We need real money. I'm going to move whole missionary armies across continents. In other words, you're going to buy 747s, 3, 4, 5 of them, pack them with equipment, pack them with missionaries, and fly them across halfway across the world. Thank you. Brother Clem just got my vision. He said, regularly. Now you do it sometimes twice a month. The amount of fuel you will use, you got to pay the pilots. What are you talking about, man? You know, we have a visionless leadership in the church. And it's because of the wrong ideas and stuff. But don't let me get off of that. Hundredfold in this lifetime. We need it here. We don't need the hundredfold in heaven. Thank God for heaven. Heaven has its gold streets and the nice houses and lovely angels and all of that. We're going to get hundredfold there too. But you know, I need it here. Am I talking to anybody? Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. How many people want the hundredfold return? Put your hand up. How many people want the persecutions? If you didn't put up your hand, just disqualify yourself from the hundredfold return. There's no way you cannot have the hundredfold return and not have the persecutions. It's not possible. So you take your pick. If you don't want the persecutions, say bye-bye to the hundredfold. If you take the hundredfold, say hello, welcome to the persecution. Are you listening to me? Oh, yeah. You know, and then, you know, even we have the hundredfold. You know, for example, let me take an example. Maybe you give a piece of land. You know, maybe you give one piece of land, you know, for the gospel, you know, for the work of God, you know, for his sake and all that. And God gives you 100 pieces of land. In this lifetime, anybody anywhere on the earth who has 100 pieces of land in any society will be a rich man, relatively. But you know what they're going to say? Ah, look at him. He's a man of God. How do you have 100 pieces of land? Persecution will always come. Whether you're a pastor or you're not a pastor. If you're a pastor, they'll say you stole church money. If you're not a pastor, they'll say you're a carnal. Kilo every 100 pieces of land, she. You know, in a language that means, what does he do with 100 pieces of land? Him alone. He's going to use the money he generates from that 100 pieces of land to finance the gospel. Amen. That's what he's going to do with it. With 100 pieces of land, do you know how many poor people he can feed? Do you know how many poor schools he can help? Do you know how many hospitals he can help? Being poor is an insult to the God of our covenant. He wants us to be rich so we can look after the poor. Well, on one hand, correct priority. Preach the gospel, disciple the nations, and look after the poor. A poor man can't look after the poor. He's poor. Even if he has the right desire, but desire will not put food on the table. So this is the hundredfold return. This is the principle. Now, in the context in which Jesus used it, he used it in the material context. However, and this is the balance. The hundredfold return is a general principle that works in every area of our Christian life. It's not only about money and material things. Though in this context, it was contextually used because the man had Barnabas, the rich young ruler, he had money and said, go and give it, say, get a hundredfold in this lifetime. So he was talking about money primarily, but it's not money only. And I want to deal with that this afternoon and see how God will help us. You know, it's a principle that cuts across the whole of the Word of God. It's true for eternal life. It's true for dunamis. It's true for the fruit of the Spirit. You can plant seed and get a hundredfold. How would you like a hundredfold of love? A hundredfold of joy. I thought you get excited about that. A hundredfold of peace. A hundredfold of long suffering. A hundredfold of gentleness. It's a principle that works in every area of God's word because God's word is called the seed. The sower soweth the word. So any word of God that you sow, this hundredfold return principle works for it. Whether you're sowing financially, whether you're sowing in prayer, you give people prayer, you get a hundredfold return prayer. Can you imagine how many seeds you're sowing when you go for Good Morning Jesus and you're praying for other people, you're sowing seed and you're blessing other people? Do you know how you're going to reap a hundredfold of those prayers in your own personal life? Woo! What a harvest. Glory be to God. You give a measure of eternal life. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is sin not to death, he says he shall ask life. You give a life, and you know how much you're going to get? A hundredfold. You know what it's called? Spirit without measure. By the time your hundredfold begins to accumulate, and you look at it over a lifetime, it's going to become without... You will not be able to calculate it. You do an experiment, not now. When you get home, to go and do this experiment. You know, all of yours have a mobile phone. Your mobile phone, practically every mobile phone now has an app which is called calculator. Are you listening to me? Now, go to your calculator. Don't do it now. You're in class now. Don't do it now. Put 10. Then put 10 times 10. Times 10. Times 10. And keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. It's going to get time. By the time you get to 10 times 10, and you get, the calculator has no more capacity. That's what's called without measure. So you sow a seed, you get a hundredfold. You take that hundredfold, you sow it again, get another hundredfold. You take that one again, you sow it again, you get another hundredfold. By the time you do that thing 10, 20, 50 times, it's going to come without measure. The hundredfold return is promised in this lifetime. It comes both in cash and kind. Where the prosperity message has been wrongly emphasized and distorted is that many people have preached this and seen it only as a financial principle and given as cash. God is not a gambling machine. So I don't come to church and give 1,000 naira and then I'm expecting 100,000. It doesn't work like that. Yes, I'm going to get 100-fold return, but the 100-fold return does not come only as cash. It's going to come in kind. It's going to come in wisdom. It's going to come in favor. It's going to come in good health. It's going to come in divine protection. All of that are necessary to make you enjoy it. Now, I had an experience as a young Christian. I don't think I've ever said this in church before. All these years. The year was 1983. I don't think I had met my wife. I met my wife later in 1983. You know, and then we got engaged in September. But this was earlier on in the year. I was still teaching in the school, and I was making a transition into UI and all of that. So, I had been out of a job for a long time. So somebody, you know, God used a great man, a lovely man. I'm still friends with him, you know. And he was permanent secretary, Minister of Education. So I went to see. I didn't know him from Adam. I just prayed in the spirit. So I went to his office. I said, I wanted to see the PS. I said, my name is Olubi Johnson. I have a first class in physics, you know, and I need a job. He looked at my credentials. First class? He said, of course. He said, they need a physics teacher in my village school. True story. In a place called Kutai. It's on the way, you know, if you're going to Iwo Road, you go to Iwo Road and you pass Leyland. You know, there's a place called Igboeleri. Igboeleri is not Kutayo. You will pass Igboeleri, then you will enter deep, deep, deep. I hear they've built the place up now. You know. So I said, they need physics. He said, you've got the job. As I got the job. My salary, I can't remember what it was. You know, in those days it wasn't much. It was 200, 300 naira, something like that. But it was money in those days. It could buy a lot. It will last you a month. You buy petrol was how much, you know. Food was how much. If you go to Songo Market and you spend 50 naira, in those days, you will buy enough food that will last you. You buy, you know. Anyway, so I took 15 naira. I think it was 150. Or maybe 150 I got. I took 15 naira. I can never forget this. I took 15 naira and I said, God, I'm sowing this as a seed. Because I needed to buy a bed, I needed some things I didn't have. And I did. You know that within a month, this is a true story, I got 1,500 naira. It was miraculous. I went somewhere and somebody gave me that money. Well, no, in fact, what happened? I now remember. I came home and I saw an envelope on my bed. It was brand new cash. 1,500. Then the word of the Lord came to me, 100-fold. Money cash. So I did what all of us foolishly do. So since the thing works, so I took the tithe of it, 150. Bass. But the next month, 140. That's how I learned. You know, it's good to be honest. That's how I learned. And then God spoke to me. He said, I just did that little just to let you know that the principle works. He said, but you do not treat me like a one-armed bandit. Munshe kalo kalo. I'm not a gambling machine. He said, just keep sowing. That's why I got them to sing that song today. Keep casting your bread upon the waters. Keep sowing. Just keep. That's why you pay your tithes and offerings promptly, regularly, completely, and cheerfully. What are you doing? You're casting the bread upon the water. You keep sharing the love of Jesus. Keep on walking in the Spirit. Keep on growing. You know what's going to happen? After many days. Because the hundredfold return comes over a lifetime. And it's not going to come only as cash. It's going to come in kind. It's going to come in wisdom. It's going to come in favor. It's going to come with good health. It's going to come, you know, with divine protection. All this is all part of the hundredfold return. Because if you die or you're sick, you can't enjoy it. So for you to enjoy the hundredfold return, God's going to see that you are well. He's going to see to it that you are protected. Glory be to God. So I learned that early, that the hundredfold return comes in cash and in kind. The blessing of God in this area, financial primarily, but it, like I said, cuts across every area of our Christian life, you know, is in this lifetime. And there's another scripture I'd like to just mention. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. He says, godliness is profitable, having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. You know, so all the religion thing, we've been told that, you know, your reward is in heaven. Have you heard that before? When the reward of the teacher is in heaven. What a lie. Sure, you get in heaven, but you also get here. And that's the will of God. Now, let me move quickly and close. Now, why did Jesus... Notice that the person who preached this God's hundredfold return gospel was not Kenneth Copeland. It was not Kenneth Hagin. It was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It was. So if the prosperity gospel is Jesus' gospel. Hello? If you can't say amen, say oh me. Are you listening to me? It was Jesus who preached it. It was Jesus who preached it. He said, he was telling his disciples. He was telling his guys, he said, there's nobody, if you give all this thing for me, he said, in this lifetime, you're going to get a hundredfold return. And the question is, why would he tell us that? To motivate us. To motivate us to a life of consecration. Don't be afraid of laying everything down for God. That's the reason. See, so many of us are afraid of our life. If I give this to God and I give this to God, what's going to happen to me? You know, I may never get it back again. The devil is telling all those lies. Jesus himself said, if you give up your wife, your children, it doesn't mean you go and divorce her. What it means, priority. You know, your children, your mother, your father. It just means God first. That's what it means. That's what we can see the examples of Peter, James, and John. That's what they did. They put God first. You know? So he said, in this lifetime, he said, you're going to receive a hundredfold in mothers. You're going to receive a hundredfold in fathers, in children, not wives.
He's not going to give you 100-fold wives. Trust me. He's not going to do that. He remembers Solomon. Are you listening to me? Because people can take that one and say, it's not even heaven. He's still here, honey. You know, the wives is not part of the 100-fold. There are no wives on that list. Praise the Lord. Silly people. Amen. 100-fold wife. There's houses, there's brethren, there's sisters, there's mothers, there's children, there's land, but no wives. Give the Lord a clap offering. Solomon must have read it upside down. Are you listening to me? All right. So it's to motivate you and I to a life of consecration. That when you consecrate your life and you make God top priority in your life, you're not going to lose out. You know, these things were what motivated me when I was a young boy. I was 20. My life was in front of me. And I was going to completely dedicate my life to God. And the devil came to me and said, "Ha, you're going to lose everything. This scripture and that 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8 was the thing that turned it for me." Particularly 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8. It says, "Godliness is profitable unto all things. Having the promise of the life that now is." I said, "I'm going for it." What? I trusted God. Like W.F. Kumi said, "Throw your life in the air and let God catch it." I threw my life in the air, and you know what? God caught it. I didn't hit the ground. I didn't smash. And I have started enjoying the 100-fold return. I'm not there yet. I'm only scratching the surface. I believe that in this next decade that is coming, and probably the one that is going to follow it, we are going to see the fullness of the 100-fold return. In my own life personally, and also in your own lives. Are you listening to me? Because of this time and season in which we're living in. We're going to see both material and financial, and in all the other areas. Spirit without measure, you know, perfecting of the love of God. Everything. It's a principle that cuts across. It's not only financial and material. Are you listening to me? I'm already seeing it in my life. Something happened to me earlier this year, you know. I was in my house and I was looking through my wardrobe and I had a lot of clothes and suits, and, you know, and it was clogging the place. They were good. They were still in good condition. So I just emptied the place out, you know, and I gave it out. I traveled. I went to go and see somebody, you know, a friend. And he said to me, "Pastor, he sent someone to pick me up at the airport." It was New York. So he sent someone to pick me at the airport. He sent one of his staff, you know, because he's a big guy and he has a hospital and everything. So he said, "They will take you to the hotel." Then they dropped me in the hotel. They said, "He'll bring you to my office and then we'll just go for lunch, you know, go for dinner." I said, "Fine." So, you know, they picked me up, went to the hotel, dropped my things. Then I went to the hospital. He showed me all his hospital and everything. They said, let's go for dinner. So we're going for dinner, you know. And then he drives into a shop. I said, "I thought we were going for dinner." He said, "Yeah." He said, "But Pastor Ewano, is a Yoruba guy." He said, "I want to show you something." So I said, "Okay." I said, "I thought you were going for dinner." He said, so he goes to this shop. When he gets inside the shop, because they know him there, he tells them to lock the door. He's that rich. So he said, "Don't want anybody to disturb us." So he now called the starting and he said, "Take pastor's size." So he took my size. He said, "Oh yeah, start bringing the suits out." He must have given me about 7 or 8 suits. I was just like, he said, "Pastor, shall I color it? Do you like this one?" "Oh yeah." Suits, belts, shoes, socks. I said, "I don't have any extra piece of luggage." I said, "I'm not going to take that." He said, "Pastor, don't worry. I already have luggage in
that I'm going to give you that's inside the car that we're going to put it inside. True story. That's hundredfold, part of hundredfold. You know what? I gave to others and God. I didn't pray about it. I didn't confess. I didn't bind. I didn't groan. Is it important to confess? Yes. Is it important to pray? Yes. Is it important to bind? Yes. Is it going to groan? Yes. I'm going to get that in a minute. But you know, I wasn't covetous. I must get a new suit. Nice, top quality. I was just looking. And then the Lord reminded me. I said, yes, thanks, Lord. Thank you, Lord. True story. Hundredfold return in this lifetime. When I look at my own personal life, you heard my testimony about my PhD and everything. Things, my wife too, things we gave up 30 years ago because of the gospel, so that we could give time to the work of God. You know, in terms of research, in terms of wisdom, equipment, you know, favor with men, it's been tremendous. And we've just started. As I speak now, I've done a patent. In one area. I have not commercialized it yet. I'm working on it. I'm preparing a proposal that I'm going to send to different international bodies and see what God's going to give me. You know, it's part of the hundredfold return. I'm giving you a practical example. It's part of the hundredfold return. I'm 60 years old, or 60 something. I am fit. I exercise every day. I exercise this morning. I exercise yesterday. I exercise on Friday. You know, I stretch. You know, I run a little bit on the spot. You know, I keep my body in good health because I want to enjoy the hundredfold return. Can't enjoy it on a sick bed. Even the health and the strength is part of the hundredfold return. A hundredfold in this lifetime. In this lifetime. And we haven't even scratched the surface. I'm beginning now to tap into that hundredfold return. I've always been blessed all my life, all these years, with God. I've always been blessed. You understand? But there is an optic. Job. Though thy beginning was small, and it is always small. Anybody wants to start big, it's not God. For the kingdom of God is like the mustard seed. He that maketh rich, haste to be rich, will not be innocent. You want to start big, you are going to steal. Of course you are going to compromise. It's always small first. I started small. My wife and I, we started small. When we look back now, recently we had to go and review some of the things we did when we were younger. You know, my wife just had this Aladdin shoe. The shoe was short. Prayer meeting. You know, but we were serving God. And we were happy. We were content. There was one time, she got the salary. We did it out. The door of our house was bad. So we had to use furniture to lock the door from the back. You know, then you went, he said, honey, the only thing we can buy is okweko. There's this kind of fish that they buy in Songo. We couldn't afford meat or anything. So we went to go and buy the fish, cut it, and put it inside the pot. You know, we fry it with this. We're living in that house, Sultan Bello Hall Flats. It was 1.5 bedrooms. There was one big bedroom, then there was one tiny bedroom, only one toilet. So the little tiny room was my study where I prayed. The other bedroom was where my wife would sleep. When the babies came, when Itunu came, she stayed. Then my mom would come. So my mom and my wife would sleep on the bed. I would take in the parlor, you know, but I was reading Hebrews. and Ephesians. I'm praying in tongues. If you don't want to start small, you will steal. That's the problem of many of our young men today. I had a Volks. That one had an accident. Then I had an Igala. Honey, remember the Igala? It was red like this, you know. My wife, she agreed with me with the Igala. Amen. If you are looking for Jeep immediately, you will steal. I got a Jeep, but many years later, 2008. Was when we bought our we got a Pajero, then we got the Land Cruiser, then we, you know, it was all in stages. Let me tell you the hundredfold principle. First the blade, then the air, then the full corn in the air. You don't jump from blade to full corn. Durable riches with righteousness. Hundredfold money. But it takes time. Jesus said, He said, so is the kingdom of God. He said, and some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. You don't jump to 100-fold. First have 30-fold. Then when you are faithful with 30-fold, he gives you 60-fold. When you are faithful with 60-fold, he gives you 100-fold. Am I talking to anybody here? Chill. Turn to anybody and say, Pastor said, chill. Turn to anybody and say, Jesus said, chill. Okweku. True story. But look at God. Though your beginning was small, yet your latter end shall what? Greatly increase. Everybody say greatly. Then increase. Tell your neighbor, say it's not just increase. So, it's greatly increase. But it's at the latter end. We're just beginning to enter that. My wife and I now. We're just beginning to enter the great increase. We're not there yet. Oh, but by the time God finishes with us, you will know what it means to serve God. Amen. And you know, it was like play, like play. Even life for it was like play, like play. We started life for because we wanted to help our house girl. Not knowing that God was going to use that to help us. Just walking in love. Just to help a house girl. Kike, she's still with us. Her son also came to life for it. But it's over many years in this lifetime. All that God said to me, he said, go and preach it to them. All prosperity preachers should listen to me. Because God has blessed us. I'm not poor by the grace of God. I'm enjoying prosperity, but with the balance. Are you listening to me? He says, his latter end shall greatly increase. I got to close. Three principles. One, everybody says, so. You give your tithes and offerings promptly, completely, regularly, and cheerfully. Everybody say, I give. If you don't do it, your heart is going to prick you. Say, I give my tithe, not tithe only, and offering promptly, immediately I get it, completely, I don't share it, regularly, that's promptly, you don't procrastinate, every month or every week. If people give you money every day, you must tithe it. I've learned that my wife and I, you know, if money comes into our account, maybe some dividend or something, immediately the first thing I do is I write the check for the tithe. instantly. So if I don't write the check, I do an online transfer instantly. I will not touch that money for any other thing without the tithe going out first. Because the tithe is not just a tenth, it's the first tenth. I'm going to say it again. Turn to your neighbor. I want you to preach it. You're preaching prosperity. I like prosperity message. And I'm giving it to you now. Preach to your neighbor. Say the tithe is not just one tenth. It's the first one tenth. So you don't take part of anger and then I'll give your tithe later. It's corrupted. That's what God said. He said, well, will your governor accept it? And then you give me the one that is weak and that is lame and the one that has one eye. He said, go and bring the best of your flock. First and the best. I make it a point of duty. I go and preach for somebody, you know, or somebody just comes to my house and gives me money. Do you know what? I discovered a great principle. This happens sometimes. People put money in the envelope and bring to me. Sometimes it will be 500 naira. And I give God the glory for it. I treat it as if it's 5 million. See, I don't despise, for me 500 naira, me Odin Diolubi Johnson. That's stupidity and pride. As far as God is concerned, it's as important as 5 million. And you know what? I tithe that 500. And you know what God told me? He said that if you don't tithe that 500, it will block the windows of heaven for the 100,000 you tithed. I'm going to say it again. Are you listening to me? The little foxes spoil the vine. God wants to see your attitude towards 500. Whether it's the same attitude you have towards 500,000. So 500,000 come, you quickly write a check for 50,000. 500 comes, then you should write the tithe for 50 naira. And you know what I usually do? At my level now, I can afford it. Some people may not be able to afford it, but it's the principle that matters. You know what I do? I just take the whole 500 and I put it back in the offering. I can't start tithing 500 to a God. I just give the whole thing back. I give the whole thing back. Always. And I'm very careful. I make sure that everything that comes in, the tithe and the offering goes. I make sure. Because I don't want anything to block the windows of heaven. If you tithe only on the big things and you neglect the small things, the principle still sustains. Are you listening to me? And Satan will say, objection, your honor, he didn't tithe it. And he's the one that shouts most in church. I don't play with my tithe. I'm a pastor. Say, do pastors tithe? Of course. Of course. See, as a pastor of this church, we preached this to you before from Numbers chapter 18. Do you understand? All the tithes belong to me. Fortunately, I didn't write the Bible. It's in Numbers. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The other day I taught it, I didn't even quote this scripture. Give it to me. Galatians 6:6 or 6:7. He that is taught in the word. Give it to me. Galatians. Don't be afraid of putting it on the screen. Put it. I don't want to lie. I don't want to lie around scripture. Now, give it to me in the Amplified and probably New International Version. Amplified 6:6 is a scripture you can never forget. Perfect witness. Because it's important. You know, I've discovered that even the references in the Bible are inspired. You know that Job I quoted to you? You know, it's Job 8:7. New beginnings and completion. Let him who receives instruction in the word of God. How many people here receive instruction in the word of God from Pastor Olubi Johnson? Don't put that hand down. No. Don't put that hand. You are in trouble this afternoon. Put the hand on my very raw one here. Keep it up. Keep it up. Shall share some good things with his teacher, contributing to his support. Do you notice it's not a board? It's not a church. It's his teacher. Put your hand down. So you see you're in trouble now. So the tithes technically belong to the senior pastor or the high priest. It is from that he now gives to the other priests. That's a pattern. That's the Old Testament pattern. Do you understand? And you see it in Timothy 2. Paul writes Timothy. He begins to give him instructions on how to distribute money. He said, those that are widows, you give them this. Watch this. He's writing to Timothy. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Who decides that? Who decides who is an elder? Timothy. Who decides the double honor? Timothy. He didn't write to a board. He wrote to a man. Timothy. Timothy is the one who decides. This elder. Who decides which elder is ruling well? Timothy. If a bishop desires the office of a good, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be. Who decides that? Timothy. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Hello? So anyway, let's get back to what I'm saying. So the tithes technically, of course, we don't just take all the tithes for ourselves. We don't do that. You know, the tithes and the offerings technically belong to the senior pastor. It is out of that he gives the elders that are ruling well, the other pastors, all the things that they need in the church, help the widow, help the poor. We take out of that and that's what we do to the glory of God. Now, that technically, the tithe of that tithe I have to tithe the tithe of the tithe of the tithe. I have to tithe it upward to my own fathers. So if all the money is there, there is a tithe that belongs to Aaron, then Aaron has to tithe his own tithe. Give me Nehemiah chapter 10 verse 38. Mommy speaking tongues. I thought mommy said Huomarugu. That's tongues and interpretation here. Tongues lost up, but going to be born here. And the priest, the son of Aaron, he's talking about the high priest, shall be with the Levites. And when the Levites take tithes, once it comes to this money thing, people, their mouth is always heavy. Hello, somebody. Pastor Bega, Ejeka the Joker. Praise the Lord. I know you're with me. You know you're one of the priests. Of course you are with me. When the Levites take tithes, the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes unto the house of God. Give the Lord a clap offering. So all pastors should tithe. What is good for the goose is good for the gander. I had people who taught me from the word of God. I didn't fall from heaven. There are people, some of them are dead, they've gone to heaven. Ken Hague has gone to heaven. E.W. Kenyon has gone to heaven. But they have ministries. Their children are still here. So every month, I actually do more than this. And it's in dollars. I take my tithe. I calculate what the tithe of the tithe should be. Then I take the equivalent, a little bit more. Then I now split it amongst my spiritual fathers. Because some people affected my life more than others. Of course, you will know Ken Hagen has affected me a lot. E.W. Kenyon has. Kenneth Copeland has. Do you understand? And there are others. You know, there are others like Papa Ralph. You know, there are others like Ma Ruth Elton. Thank you, darling. You know, Brother Emiko. I try to really get every month. Without fail. And I've been doing it for years. And others. Rick Godwin? Some of you have never heard of Rick Godwin. It was, Papa, you should remember Rick Godwin. I can never forget. There was one message. It was 1990 or 1991. I heard from this American preacher. Man, he went to preach for Benny Hinn. You know, but he's a faith guy, but he'd gone into prophetic. I can never forget. And Rick Godwin, he preached on the priestly garments. Ori Midaroni. I say that, you know. Ah! I said, what a word. I've been tithing to him. Derek Prince. Every month. What is good for the goose is good for the... If I am preaching, other people should tithe. So I won't tithe. It's called hypocrisy. And that's why they're not being blessed. Because when you don't tithe upward, and you see, I don't tithe to the poor. They did not instruct me in the word of God. Yeah. Do I give to the poor? Yes, I look after the poor. But I do not divert the tithe. It's for the storehouse. We will take care of the poor out of the excess. But the tithe is not for the poor. It's not for the brethren. It's not for the guy in hospital. It's for the storehouse. Or you will block the windows of heaven. It is after we have the... Then we now take out of that. God told Timothy, now, the widows that are widows indeed, he must be over 60 years old, having been husband of one wife, well, wife of one husband, wash the saints' feet, and look after her. As long as it's a hospital, I want to help them, we help them. But not my tithe. My tithe is not for that. The tithe is for the... It's for the fathers. Don't touch it. It's holy. I don't know if I've helped anybody. So that's sowing. Tithes and offerings regularly. Keep casting your bread upon the waters. Soon it will come back. Every wave. It's already started coming back to me on every wave. There's hardly a week I'm not blessed with one thing or the other. Things I don't pray for. I mean, I pray because I pray general prayer and I pray in spirit. So obviously, the Holy Ghost must have mentioned it. You know, it just come. Two, water. Praying and walking in the spirit. Everybody say, water. By praying and walking. You don't hear this in most prosperity messages. They omit this. And if you don't pray and walk in the spirit, you will not have the character to enjoy the material blessing. And the prosperity can destroy you. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Scripture. Number three, harvest. And this is what I'm going to close with. This is how you get a hundredfold return. Remember what I taught us the other day? It was a gift, income, investment, innovation. That's how we harvest. God is going to cause gifts. People will come and give you. God is going to give you a job or something you can do that's making money. An income. Look at Titus chapter 3 verse 14. Titus. It's in the New Testament, incidentally. In case there's some in doubt. Titus chapter 3 verse 14. Let ours, who is ours? Christians. Let ours also learn to maintain good works for what? Necessary uses that they be not unfruitful. Now, give me this in two translations. First of all, give me the Amplified Bible. I'll show you something here. Let our own people. How many people are God's people here? So he's talking to you. I don't know where we got all this upside down gospel. It's this distorted prosperity measure. There is nowhere in the Bible where it says we should be idle and lazy and want God just to pour out money from heaven. He doesn't do that. God's not a counterfeiter. Let our own people, I didn't hear you, really learn to apply themselves to good deeds. To honest labor. Notice the word honest. an honorable employment, not drugs, not prostitution. The Bible says you will not bring the hire of a whore. It's clear in the Old Testament shadow. You don't bring it to the house of God. You don't. Thank you. I was just going to get there, darling. Ah, God has done it. Oh, tell me the testimony now.
Oh, God has done it.
The accursed thing. You bring it to the house of God. You know, the pastor may be innocent. He may not know where you got it from, but God will catch up with you. Honorable employment, not corruption. Go to Abuja and do all kinds of funny things, and you come and give testimony. Hello. So that they may be able to meet necessary demands whenever the occasion may require, and not be living idle and uncultivated and unfruitful lives. God wants us to find something to do. He that doesn't work should not eat. Give it to me in the message. I like the message on this. Our people have to learn to be diligent. The people don't like reading some of these scriptures. Hey, everybody, let's start. Our people, turn to your neighbor, say you and I, have to learn to be diligent in their work so that all necessities are met, especially among the needy, and they don't end up with nothing to show for their lives. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. This is the correct prosperity message with balance. Sure, there's hundredfold return. Sure, but it's going to come through income. Some of it will come through income. Because you're doing something productive, then God has something. Have you noticed the scripture says, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper? If he does nothing, he won't prosper. Then, of course, there's gifts. Then there's investment where you can invest. And that's where the wisdom of God comes in. Then there's innovation, where God will give you knowledge of witty inventions to create something that people have a need for, that they don't even know they have a need for yet. Mm-hmm. And the whole world came to buy corn from Joseph. We're having a Joseph anointing come upon the church. We're going to have so much money, we won't know what to do with it. We will know. We're going to use it to preach the gospel. There's a limit to what your needs can. You have a nice car, have a nice house, wear nice clothes. That's fine. God loves you. You're his child. He enjoys the prosperity of himself. But after that, what next? The gospel and then the poor. Now let's look at these scriptures as I close. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. God was showing me something. I would say gifts, income, investment, and innovation. As God begins to bless you, I'm going to get to Romans 8 in a minute. As God begins to bless you financially and materially, he begins to increase the gifts. It's called favor with men. And the income. He begins to give you, money that you make from the gifts and the income, some of it, is what you are going to now take into investment. As investment grows and God gives you ideas, it is the money from the investments you will now put into the innovation. It's one step after the other. You need all the four streams: the gifts, the income, the investments, the innovation. The innovation is about the last one. Because even if you have an idea, if you don't have money to be able to execute it, there's nothing wrong in borrowing from the bank or, raising a loan and all that, but it has to be done responsibly. And you must have a very good feasibility study to show you can pay back that money. Owe no man anything except to love him. If you do borrow from the bank or anything like that, you must have a plan to be able to make sure you're paying back and you pay your obligations as and at when due, lest the name of God be blasphemed. It went kind of quiet. I said it went kind of quiet. Hallelujah. Wisdom dwell with the prudent. Hey, there's something I have in my notes here. Before I get to Romans 8, sorry, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. And it's where people, you see, what I was talking about, gifts, income, you know, investment and innovation. You know, I have arrows, you know, gifts, income. You see, before you start getting regular income, you know, I had that, you know, people were giving you gifts, you know, and helping you, you know. Then you start having an income. Then that two streams now, from that you can start going into investment and then you in innovation. Now, this is what happens to a lot of Christians. And I'm going to read Romans, I'm sorry, Proverbs, and then we're going to close. Watch this. God begins to give him gifts and some relative amount of income. He gets a good job. You know what happens to a lot of people? The Bible says, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the loss of other things, they enter in and choke the word, the income, and he hasn't yet got into the deep end of investment, but the little income and blessing that he has, he doesn't have time for God anymore. Hello, somebody. You don't see him in church. He's not praying anymore. Well, I have to go to my job. I have to do this. I have to do that. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of it, and the loss of other things choke the source of the income and the gifts, and he never gets to investment and innovation. It will not be your portion. Amen. But it's a trap. It's a trap. You got to watch for it. Don't allow your trying to get gifts and income choke the word in your life, because you will never get to innovation, investment and innovation to any appreciable degree. Now, Proverbs 8. We're going to read verse 12 first, and then we'll go to verse 18 to 21, and I'll close. I, wisdom. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. Dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty. This is innovation. It's prosperity. But this is creation of wealth. See, the prosperity of Luke 6:38 of income and gifts is sharing of wealth. A person can only give you what out of what he has. He hasn't created any new wealth. It's just been transfer of wealth. He's taken from what he has and he's giving you. That's fine. We all start there. But you must get to a place where you can create wealth. It's part of the hundredfold return. Then jump to verse 18. Am I helping anybody here? Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs chapter 8 is one of the greatest scriptures on prosperity. And you know what, Pastor G? All my years as a Christian, I have hardly ever heard anybody preach prosperity from Proverbs 8. The only one we know is 419. Never know 419. Philippians 4:19. And Luke 6:38. Given it shall be given unto you. And Genesis, seed time and harvest time will never cease from the earth. You don't hear them preach from. And this is the place where we move into the real money. Because this is the investment and innovation stage of prosperity. Are you listening to me? Riches and honor are with me. Notice it's not just riches, it's also honor. I don't lie, I don't steal, I'm of integrity. Look at the how righteousness and honor and integrity are intricately interwoven with the kind of money that comes with investment and innovation. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Righteousness. Notice the riches are not riches, they're not fly by night. You know, the Bible says riches, they can fly away. But this type is not going to fly, it's durable. It's going to be there. There's something Yorubas call agbomagbe. That means that you take from it, the thing will never get dry. It's durable. You know why? Because it comes from creativity. It keeps making itself back. As you take out of it, another one comes. As you take out of it, another one comes. Durable riches. And righteousness. Verse 19. My fruit is better than gold. Money is important, but wisdom is more important. It's better. Gold is good, but wisdom is better than gold. If I give you gold, it will finish. But if I give you wisdom, you keep creating more gold. And my revenue, he's talking about wisdom, than choice silver. Just on the side, you know, I remember the scripture. It's somewhere in Kings. You don't have to turn there. Solomon was so rich. The Bible says they accounted silver as nothing. In during Solomon's reign, he was so rich. All the cutlery, the plates that they were eating was gold. The Bible says silver was accounted as nothing. A greater than Solomon is here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ah! Next verse. Am I helping anybody here? I lead. Look at the emphasis. In the way of what? And in the midst of the path of judgment and equity. Equity means equality, you know, doing things properly, equally. Don't just do things, you know. The reason why so many Christians haven't broken through into this level of prosperity is a lack of integrity, a lack of righteousness. We lie, we steal, we even the pastors, as well as I can get money from the people, you know, I do a gimmick, you know, give this and they will give you the, you know, 7,000 for 7 miracles. Have you heard that before? Come and get anointing oil. You know, I put anointing oil on your head and all your problems will disappear in 2 weeks. And you will get a breakthrough. And you know, funny thing, they get a breakthrough. But it's not from God, it's the devil. Because that's witchcraft. And Satan too can prosper. He told Jesus, said, bow to me and I'll give you. Yeah. Bible says, the ungodly that prosper in the world and increase in riches. Psalm 73. So it's not all riches that come from God, but the better one comes from God. And in righteousness. Next verse, I've got to close. That I may, those that love me, if you love wisdom, give me a wave of friend. Hallelujah. To what? Inherit substance. Correct. You know, substance. And I will do what? Fill their treasures. This is the hundredfold return. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. The hundredfold return. We've just started entering it. I said this before about the church, and I'm going to repeat it. You know, the whole church world, when I say church world now, I'm talking about professing Christendom. That will include the Catholic, the Anglican, the Methodist, Baptist, we Pentecostals, you know, the Pentecostal, the traditional to Pentecostals, Assemblies of God, Four Square, and etc., etc. Then we so-called Word of Faith Charismatic, you know, that's people like, you know, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, ourselves, you know, Winners, Redeemed, you know, the whole church together as at today. Somebody did an analysis recently, you know, they published in the papers, they looked at the richest pastors in the world. So, incidentally, and surprisingly, Nigeria. You know, some of our pastors are richer than Kenneth Copeland. Another message for another day. You know, and richer than, you know, than some of the pastors in America. But, you know, they were all small amounts. I'm being honest. I'm talking about relatively. You know, I'm talking in dollars now. Forget Naira. You know, 400 million, 500 million, maybe 1 or 2 billion. Then if you look at some of our institutions and you put all of our assets together,
Do you understand? The whole church. We're not 50 billion. The whole church. No one has a church pastor, a church mouse. But there are individuals who are not born again yet. Some of them are coming in. Understand? Who their net worth is over 100 billion. But when you put the whole church with all our noise, something is wrong. We must be doing something wrong. For the scripture says, you will be head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Yet, alas, I'm talking about financial area now, material. We're not. We have money, we're okay, but no. And then you see us begging on television. That's one of the things that annoys me. If I feel like that's human, I wonder how Jesus feels. Oh, if you don't give, this TV station is going to shut down. If you can, shut it down, silly. Shut it down and go and pray. Stop disgracing God. The God we serve is far richer. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He's a very rich God. But because we don't do things properly, we got to do it properly. So, tithes and offerings, and you pastors tithe, and you will see a difference. Number two, water. Pray and walk in the Spirit, so you will do everything in righteousness. Three, be innovative, be industrious. Don't just sit down and expect money to come from heaven by pouring anointing oil on people's heads. Find something to do. And what you do, God will prosper it. Paul, pattern disciples, said these hands. If an apostle, one of the greatest apostles, could work, who are you and I not to do something? Find something to do. Use your brain. This is where the real prosperity lies. I, wisdom, dwell with knowledge of witty, with prudence, and give knowledge, find out knowledge of witty inventions. How can a whole church not have 100 billion? It's a thing of shame, but it will change. I'm going to correct that. It is changing. Hence this prophetic prosperity message. That's a nice one. It's prophetic, but it's prosperity. You know, they like prosperity. They don't like prophetic, but now I've given it to them. Prophetic and prosperity. It is a prophetic presence. It's the will of God. Let's talk to God. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit,
Move amongst us. Leave far as we lay aside. Earthly desires. Hands reach out. And our hearts. Holy Spirit. We welcome Holy Spirit, we welcome you. One more time. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you. Move amongst us. Amongst us with holy fire. as we lay aside, we lay aside all earthly desire. Hands reach out. On our hearts, as by Holy Spirit.
Lord, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Let the wind of your presence blow. The wind of your presence blow. That your children here might truly know. Spirit's flow, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
we welcome you. Please accomplish. In us today, some new work, of love and grace, we pray unreservedly, that we have your way, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Please accomplish in us. Today, some new work. Work of love and grace, we pray unreservedly, your way,
Holy Spirit,
we welcome you. Put one hand on your heart, raise your other hand to God. God is looking for holy vessels, end time Josephs. And it doesn't matter whether you're a pastor or not, that's not an important thing. End time Josephs that he can trust with wealth. We haven't seen wealth yet in its fullness. We've seen a little bit of blessing, thank God for that. But we haven't seen, you know, it's going to be in the trillions. Not billions, it's going to be in the trillions in the coming decade and beyond. And it's going to be used primarily for the discipleship of the nations, evangelism and discipleship of the nations, and then to help the poor. God cares about the poor and the fatherless and the widow. He's going to use it to help them. That should be the motivation for your making money. You're not making money so that they can say, ah, look at him, he's a rich man. He's driving this kind of car. He's living in this kind of house. No, that's vainglory. Your motivation is to establish God's covenant upon the earth and then to be a blessing to the poor. Once your motivation is correct, God is going to back you and he's now going to give you wisdom and strength and all of that as you obey this hundredfold return principle. You tithe, you do your offerings, you water, you walk in the Spirit, you walk in integrity, honor, and righteousness, then the hundredfold will start coming. Little by little, it will start coming. Raise that hand. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. So receive your power in sufficient measure
as we pray now. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you for this prophetic prosperity message. The hundredfold return. You said in your word that whatever we give up for your sake and the gospels in this lifetime, we will receive a hundredfold return, Lord God, so we can use it to establish your covenant upon the earth, help the poor, the fatherless, and the widow, giving them a fighting chance, leveling the playing field for them. Oh God, oh God, oh God, have mercy on me. Give me understanding. Pastor has preached it, but you preach it to me. In my own heart, enlighten my understanding. Let me see that prosperity is your will, a covenant right, a hundredfold return in this lifetime is your will, and help me to conduct myself in such a manner as to inherit it, sowing by giving my tithes and offerings promptly, completely, regularly, and cheerfully, watering by praying and walking in the Spirit to develop and perfect the love of God and the fruit of the Spirit, so I have the character to handle great wealth, the honesty, the integrity, and the honor, so I can be trusted with great wealth. And so help me to practice honest ventures and have knowledge of witty inventions for investment and innovation to create new wealth that has never been seen before. Fill my treasures, Lord God. Do your word. Watch over this word to perform it. Cause me to inherit substance and fill my treasures for your glory and the blessing of humanity. In Jesus' name, amen. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Jelike koko fredelesk lombri dikla matolomostala la prika tofres zofridia. Mercy, Lord. Lombri kitolomoshali koko fredes lombri dila lombro dalask jakiko fredesk lombri dikas. Mercy, Lord. La prika kakamatolomotolomotofredes zelia yokotofre longardolomasoko zeliko. Mercy, Lord. Labraka clamatolum to free to freshe in garas. Shake it to free. Lambraka clamatolum to freshe. Lombraka clamatolum to free to free. No to free. Lombri dilemma to free. Tolum to free. Tolum to free to freshe. Tolum to fresh. Zikitolo. Lambra to free. Antusco fredes. In Jesus' name. Mommy, come. Get this message. Send it out to everybody now. It's the thing you need to listen to over and over until it enters your spirit and goes from your spirit into your soul and consumes you, and you now motivated with the right thing and do it in righteousness. The next decade will be different for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above orderly and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. You will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life, for God satisfied, and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John, in Jesus' name. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us, now and forevermore, in Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, you inherit a hundredfold return in this lifetime. God bless you.